once was as meek as a newborn lamb, I'm now Sir Murgatroyd. Ha ha! With greater precision, without the elision, Sir Rhythm Murgatroyd. Ha ha! And I, who was once his Validersham, a steward I'm now employed. The Dickens may take him, I'll never forsake him, a steward I'm now employed. How dreadful when an innocent heart becomes perforce a banyan butt, and still more hard on old Adam his former faithful Validersham, his former faithful Validersham, his Validersham, his Validersham.
This is a painful state of things, old Adam.
Painful indeed. Ah, my poor master. When I swore that come what would, I would serve you in all things forever, I little thought to what a pass it would bring me. The confidential adviser to the greatest villain unhung. Now, sir, to business. What crime do you propose to commit today?
How should I know? As my confidential adviser, it's your duty to suggest something.
Sir, I loathe the life you are leading, but a good old man's oath is paramount, and I obey. Richard Dauntless is here with pretty Rose Maybud, to ask your consent to their marriage. Poison their beer?
No, not that. I know I'm a bad Bart, but I'm not as bad a Bart as all that.
Well, there you are, you see. It's no use my making suggestions if you don't adopt them.
How would it be, do you think, were I to lure him here with cunning wile, bind him with good stout rope to yonder post, and then, by making hideous faces at him, curdle the half-blood in his arteries and freeze the very marrow in his bones. How say you, Adam? Is not the scheme well planned?
It would be simply rude, nothing more. But soft they come.
Coupled are we, you see. I am a jolly Jack Tar, my star, and you the fairest, the richest, and rarest of innocent lasses you are, by far, of innocent lasses you are. And by a favoring gale, you'll sail over life's treacherous sea with me, and as for bad weather, we'll brave it together, and you shall creep under my lee, my wee. And you shall creep under my lee, my wee. For you are such a smart little craft, such a neat little sweet little craft, such a bright little tight little slight little light little trim little prim little craft.
Oh, she is such a smart little craft, such a neat little sweet little craft, such a bright little tight little slight little light little
My hopes will be blighted, I fear, my dear. In a month you'll be going to sea quite free, and all of my wishes you'll throw to the fishes as though they were never to be. For me, as though they were never to be. And I shall be left all alone to moan and weep at your cruel deceit complete, while you'll be assaulting your freedom by flirting with every woman you meet. You cheat, ah, with every woman you meet. Ah, though I am such a smart little craft, such a neat little sweet little craft, such a bright little tight little slight little light little trim little prim little craft.
Though she is such a smart little craft, such a neat little sweet little craft, such a bright little tight little slight little light little trim little craft.
So pretty,
anyone in my power at last, eh? Know ye not that I have those within my call who, at my lightest bidding, would immure ye in an uncomfortable dungeon? What ho, within there!
Hold! We are prepared for this. Here is a flag that none dare defy. And while this glorious rag floats over Rose Maybud's head, the man does not live who would dare to lay unlicensed hand upon her.
Foils, and by a union, Jack. But a time will come, and then...
Nay, let me plead with him. Sir Rhythm, have pity. In my book of etiquette, the case of a maiden about to be wedded to one who unexpectedly turns out to be a baronet with a curse on him is not considered. Time was when you loved me madly. Prove that this was no selfish love by according your consent to my marriage with one who, if he be not you yourself, is the next best thing, your dearest friend.
Days I had my love.
Fulfilled my accursed doom. I have duly committed a crime a day. Not a great crime, I trust, but still, in the eyes of one as strictly regulated as I used to be, a crime. But will my ghostly ancestors be satisfied with what I have done? Or will they regard it as an unworthy subterfuge? Oh, my forefathers, wallowers in blood, there came at last a day when, sick of crime, you, each and every, vowed to sin no more, and so, in agony, called welcome death to free you from your cloying guiltiness. Let the sweet psalm of that repentant hour soften your long dead hearts and tune your souls to mercy on your poor posterity.
Thank you. icy glare and stern, relentless brow appearest, who knows how?
I am the specter of the late Sir Roderick Murgatroyd, who comes to warn thee that thy fate thou canst not now avoid.
Alas, poor ghost,
the pity you express for nothing goes. We specters are a jollier crew than you perhaps suppose.
We specters are a jollier crew than you perhaps suppose.
When the night wind howls in the chimney cowls, and the bat in the moonlight flies, and inky clouds like funeral shrouds sail over the midnight skies, when the footpads quail at the night bird's wail, and black dogs bay at the moon, then is the spectre's holiday, then is the ghost I know. As the sob of the breeze sweeps over the trees, and the mists lie low on the fen, from great stones are gathered the bones that once were women and men. And away they go with a mop and a mow to the revel that ends too soon. For cockcrow limits a holiday, the dead of the night I know. The dead of the night I know. I know. Then each ghost with his lady toast to the churchyard beds take flight, with a kiss perhaps on her lantern chaps, and a grisly grim good night, till the welcome knell of the midnight bell rings forth its jolliest tune, and ushers in our next high holiday, the dead of the night I know.
I recognize you now. You are the picture that hangs at the end of the gallery.
In a bad light, I am.
Are you considered a good likeness?
Pretty well. Flattering.
Because as a work of art, you are poor.
I am crude in color, but I have only been painted 10 years. In a couple of centuries, I shall be an old master, and then you will be sorry you spoke lightly of me.
And may I ask why you have left your friends?
It is our duty to see that our successors commit their daily crimes in a conscientious and workmanlike fashion. It is our duty to remind you that you are evading the conditions under which you are permitted to exist.
Really? I don't know what you'd have. I've only been a bad baronet a week, and I've committed a crime punctually every day.
Let us inquire into this. Monday?
Monday was a bank holiday.
True. Tuesday?
On Tuesday, I made a false income tax return.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Everybody does that.
It's expected of you.
Wednesday?
On Wednesday, I forged a will.
Whose will?
My own.
My good sir, you can't forge your own will.
Can't I, though? I like that. I did. Besides, if a man can't forge his own will, Whose will can he forge?
There's something in that.
Yes, it seems reasonable.
At first sight it does.
Fallacy somewhere, I fancy.
A man can do what he likes with his own.
I suppose he can.
Well then, he can forge his own will, stupid. On Thursday I shot a fox.
Hear, hear.
That's better. Pass the fox, I think. Yes, pass the fox. Friday?
On Friday I forged a check.
Whose check?
Old Adam's.
But old Adam hasn't a banker.
I didn't say I forged his banker. I said I forged his check. On Saturday I disinherited my only son.
But you haven't got a son.
No, not yet. I disinherited him in advance to save time. You see, by this arrangement, he'll be born ready disinherited.
I see. But I don't think you can do that.
My good sir, if I can't disinherit my own unborn son, whose unborn son can I disinherit?
These arguments sound very well, but I can't help thinking that if they were reduced to syllogistic form, they wouldn't hold water. Now, quite understand us. We are foggy, but we don't permit our fogginess to be presumed upon, unless you undertake to, well, suppose we say, carry off a lady. Those who are in favor of his carrying off a lady?
Aye.
Those of the contrary opinion?
Aye.
Oh, Bishop, you're never satisfied. Yes, unless you undertake to carry off a lady at once, I don't care what lady, any lady, choose your lady. You perish in inconceivable agonies.
Carry off a lady? Certainly not on any account. I've the greatest respect for ladies, and I wouldn't do anything of the kind for worlds. No, no, I'm not that kind of baronet, I assure you. If that's all you've got to say, you'd better go back to your friend.
Very good. Then let the agonies commence.
Don't do that! I can't stand it!
Painful, isn't it?
Yes, yes!
It gets worse by degrees!
Oh, stop a bit! Stop it, will you? I want to speak!
Better?
Yes. Better now. Oh.
Well, do you consent?
Oh, but it's such an ungentlemanly thing to do!
As you please! Carry on!
Stop! Stop! I can't stand it! I agree! I promise! It shall be done.
Today?
Today.
At once?
At once. I retract. Oh, I apologize. I had no idea it was anything like that.
We do not ask for more. A sturdy fellow, after all, this latest radigo.
A sturdy fellow, after all, this latest radigo.
All perish in a hollow wound, to their armies in fire. We want your pardon, there we go.
We want your pardon, there we go. For having agonized so.
Pardon you.
Adam, it won't do. I've seen them, all my ancestors. They're just gone. They say that I must do something desperate at once or perish in horrible agonies. Go to yonder village, carry off a maiden, bring her here at once. Anyone, I don't care which, not a word but obey. Fly!
Away, remorse, compunction, hence. Go, moral force, go, penitence. To virtue's plea, a long farewell. Propriety, I ring your knell. Come, guiltiness of deadliest hue. Come, desperate deeds of daring do.
Henceforth, all the crimes that I find in the times, I promise to perpetrate daily. Tomorrow I start with a petrified heart on a regular course at Old Bailey. There's confidence picking, bad coin bucket picking, and several other disgraces. There's postage stamp ringing, and then thimble ringing, the three court delusion and races. Oh, a baronet's rank is exceedingly nice, but the title's uncommonly dear at the price. Ye well-to-do squires who live in the shires, where petty distinctions are vital, who found athenaeums and local museums with views to a baronet's title. Ye butchers and bakers and candlestick makers who sneer at all things that are trady, whose middle class lives are embarrassed by wives who long to parade as milady. Oh, allow me to offer a word of advice. The title's uncommonly dear at the price. Ye supple MPs who go down on your knees, your precious identity sinking, and vote black or white as your leaders indict, which saves you the trouble of thinking. For your country's good fame, her repute or her shame, you don't care the snuff of a candle. But you're paid for your game when you're told that your name will be graced by a baronet's handle. Oh, allow me to give you a word of advice. The title's uncommonly dear at the price.
Was a very abandoned person,
making the most of evil chances.
Nobody could conceive a worsen,
even in all the old romances.
I blush for my wild extravagances. But be so kind to bear in mind,
we were the victims of circumstances. That is one of our blameless dances. I was once an exceedingly odd young lady.
suffering much from spleen and vapors.
Clergyman thought my conduct shady.
She didn't spend much upon linen drapers.
It certainly entertained the gamers. My ways were strange beyond all range.
Paragraphs got into all the papers. We only cut respectable capers. I've given up all my wild proceedings.
My taste for a wandering life is waning.
Now I'm a dab at penny readings.
They are not remarkably entertaining.
A moderate livelihood we're gaining.
In fact, we rule a national school.
The duties are dull, but I'm not complaining. This sort of thing takes a deal of training. We have been married a week.
One happy, happy week.
Our new life
is delightful indeed.
So calm.
So unimpassioned. Master, all this I owe to you. See, I am no longer wild and untidy. My hair is combed, my face is washed, my boots fit.
Margaret, don't. Pray restrain yourself. Remember, you are now a district visitor.
A gentle district visitor.
You are orderly, methodical, neat. You have your emotions well under control.
I have. Master, when I think of all you have done for me, I fall at your feet, I embrace your ankles, I hug your knees.
Hush! This is not well. This is calculated to provoke remark. Be composed, I beg.
No, you are angry with poor little Mad Mark.
No, not angry. But a district visitor should learn to eschew melodrama. Visit the poor, by all means, and give them tea and barley water. But don't do it as if you were administering a bowl of deadly nightshade. It upsets them. Then, when you nurse sick people and find them not as well as could be expected, why go into hysterics?
Why not?
Because it's too jumpy for a sick room.
How strange. Oh, master, master! How shall I express the all-absorbing gratitude that...
No!
Yes, I know, dear. It shan't occur again. Shall I tell you one of poor Mad Margaret's odd thoughts? Well, then, when I am lying awake at night and the pale moonlight streams through the latticed casement, strange fancies crowd upon my poor mad brain. And I sometimes think that if we could hit upon some word for you to use whenever I am about to relapse, some word that teems with hidden meaning, like Basingstoke, it might recall me to my saner self. For after all, I am only Mad Margaret, Daft Meg, Poor Peg.
Poor child, she wanders. It's soft. Someone comes. Margaret, pray recollect yourself. Basingstoke, I beg. Margaret, if you don't Basingstoke at once, I shall be seriously angry.
Basingstoke it is.
Then make it so.
Despard and his young wife. This visit is unexpected.
Shall I fly at him? Shall I tear him limb from limb? Shall I rend him asunder? Say but the word and...
Basingstoke.
Oh, Basingstoke it is.
Then make it so. My brother, I call you brother still, despite your horrible profligacy, we have come to urge you to abandon the evil courses to which you have committed yourself, and at any cost to become a pure and blameless ratepayer.
But I've done no wrong yet.
No wrong? He has done no wrong. Did you hear that?
Basingstoke.
Basingstoke, it is.
My brother. I still call you brother, you observe. You forget that you have been, in the eye of the law, a bad baronet of Radigore for 10 years. And you are therefore responsible, in the eye of the law, for all the misdeeds committed by the unhappy gentleman who occupied your place.
I see. Bless my heart, I never thought of that. Was I very bad?
Awful, wasn't he?
And I've been going on like this for how long?
10 years. Think of all the atrocities you have committed, by attorney, as it were, during that period. Remember how you trifled with this poor child's affections, how you raised her hopes on high. Don't cry, my love. Basingstoke, you know, only to trample them in the dust when they were at the very zenith of their fullness. Oh, fie, sir, fie. She trusted you.
Did she? What a scoundrel I must have been. Oh, there, there. Don't cry, my dear. It's all right now. Birmingham, you know. Birmingham.
Basingstoke.
Oh, Basingstoke, of course it is. Basingstoke.
Then make it so. Oh,
there, there. It's all right. He's married you now. That is, I've married you. I say, which of us has married her?
Oh, I've married her.
Oh, I'm glad of that. Yes, he's married you now. And anything more disreputable than my conduct seems to have been, I've never even heard of. But my mind is made up. I will defy my ancestors. I will refuse to obey their behests. Thus, by courting death, atone in some degree for the infamy of my career.
I knew it. I knew it. God bless you.
Basingstoke.
Basingstoke. It is.
My other money overdue my own situation. I should go on to Roderick and make a veneration. I should tell him I've recovered my because of my own citizen and you can never see me leave on any consequences. Now I do not want to perish, but the soul of the dagger, but the mother be indulgent and the father of the swagger and the father to have come to remember and he will find the father and the mother who really doesn't matter.
So it really doesn't matter.
So it really doesn't matter. So it really doesn't matter.
So it really doesn't matter. So it really doesn't matter.
So it really doesn't matter.
Matter, 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 matter.
If I were not a little mad and generally silly, I should give you my advice upon the subject willy-nilly. I should show you, remember, what how to grapple with the question, and you'd really be astonished at the force of my suggestion on the subject. I shall write you almost valuable, a letter full of excellent suggestions when I feel a little better. But at present, I'm afraid I am as mad as any hunter, so I'll keep it to myself, for my opinion doesn't matter.
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 My opinion doesn't matter. Matter, 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 matter.
If I had been so lucky as to have a steady brother who could talk to me as we are talking now to one another, who could give me good advice when he discovered I was earning, which is just the very favour which on you I am conferring, my existence would have made a rather interesting little animate of dinner and died a very decent individual. This particularly rapid, unintelligible matter isn't general that he heard it. If it is, it doesn't matter.
If it is, it doesn't matter.
If it is, it doesn't matter. Matter, 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 matter. If it is, it doesn't matter. This particularly rapid, unintelligible matter isn't general that he heard it. If it is, it doesn't matter. This particularly rapid, unintelligible matter isn't general that he heard it.
What deed?
She is here, alone, unprotected.
Who?
The maiden. I've carried her off. I had a hard task, but she fought like a tiger cat.
Oh, great heaven, I had forgotten her. I had hoped to have died unspotted by crime, but I'm foiled again, and by a tiger cat. Produce her and leave us. Dame Hannah, this is not what I expected.
Well, sir, and what would you with me? Oh, you have begun bravely, bravely indeed. Unappalled by the calm dignity of blameless womanhood, your minion has torn me from my spotless home and dragged me, blindfolded shrieking, through hedges, over stiles, and across a very difficult country, and left me helpless and trembling at your mercy. Yet not helpless, coward sir. For approach one step, nay, but the 20th part of one poor inch, and this poniard shall teach ye what it is to lay unholy hands on old Stephen Trusty's daughter.
Madam, I am extremely sorry for this. It is not at all what I intended. Anything more correct, more deeply respectful than my intentions toward you, it would be impossible for anyone, however particular, to desire.
Bah! I am not to be tricked by smooth words, hypocrite. But be warned in time, for there are without 100 gallant hearts whose trusty blades would hack him limb from limb, who dared to lay unholy hands on old Stephen Trusty's daughter.
And this is what it is to embark upon a career of unlicensed pleasure.
Hark ye, miscreant. You have secured me, and I am your poor prisoner. But if you think I cannot take care of myself, you are very much mistaken. Now then, it's 1-1, and let the best man win.
Oh, don't look at me like that. I can't bear it. Roderick, uncle, save me!
Both of you.
This intrusion is unmannerly.
I'm surprised at you.
I can't stop to apologize. An idea has just occurred to me. A baronet of Ruddigore can only die through refusing to commit his daily crime.
No doubt.
And therefore, to refuse to commit a daily crime is tantamount to suicide.
It would seem so.
But suicide is itself a crime. So, by your own showing, you ought never to have died at all.
I see. I understand. Then I'm practically alive.
Undoubtedly. Rose, when you believed that I was a simple farmer, I believe you loved me.
Madly, passionately.
But when I became a bad baronet, you very properly love Richard instead.
Passionately, madly.
But if I should turn out not to be a bad baronet after all, how would you love me then?
Madly, passionately.
As before?
Why, of course.
Oh, my darling.
Here, I say, belay.
No, sir, belay if it's absolutely necessary.
Belay? Certainly not.
When a man has been a naughty baronet and expresses deep repentance and regret, you should help him if you're able, like the mousey in the fable. That's a teaching on my book of etiquette.
Having been a wicked baronet, no weak. Once again, a modest livelihood I seek. Agricultural employment is to be a keen enjoyment for a naturally dependent and meek.
For a naturally dependent and meek.
If you ask me why I do not pipe my eye, like an honest British sailor, I reply that with Laura for my missus, there'll be bread and cheese and kisses, which are just a sort of ration I enjoy.
Prompted by a keen desire to invoke all the blessed calm of matrimonious yoke, we shall toddle off tomorrow from the scene of sin and sorrow for to settle in the town of Basingstoke.
Prompted by a keen desire to invoke all the blessed calm of matrimonious yoke, we shall toddle off tomorrow from the scene of sin and sorrow for to settle in the town of Basingstoke. For to settle in the town of Basingstoke.
And that's the end of Ruddigore. This was the cast. Sir Riven Murgatroyd, Robin Oakapple, Derek Cannon-Stroud, Richard Dauntless, Neil Jenkins, Sir Despard Murgatroyd, Eric Schilling, Old Adam Goodhart, Philip Summerscales, Rose Maybud, Sandra Dugdale, Mad Margaret, Della Jones, Dame Hannah, Anne Collins, and Sir Roderick Murgatroyd, Forbes Robinson.